Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
I look at the scriptures in that, but I want to start off with some stats. Maybe not such a happy Christmas stats, but stats that Fuller Institution and George Bonner and Pastoral Care have put out, and I was reading it. And so these are the stats for 2019, because obviously 2020, the stats really went through the went haywire because of COVID, so we won't think about that. And stats for 2021 is the jury's out, because we haven't finished it yet, so they didn't give us the stats in that. But in 2019, 4,000 churches closed in America. 3,500 people a day left the church. That's equivalent to 1.2 million people. And then it goes on to say 1,700 pastors left the ministry a month. So, yeah. And so, okay. So I was just saying that I looked at that stats and I thought, okay, I'm talking about good news. Good news everybody's leaning into. It doesn't look like everybody's leaning into this good news. And I was just thinking, okay, what's the deal here? But coming back to these stats, I'll talk about it in a little while. But we are last couple of Sundays we've been talking about Christmas and God's display of His goodness and how wonderful it is. And God's goodness was born in that stable, wrapped in rags, laid in a feed trough. The arrival of that birth wasn't announced to kings or princes or royalty or the religious, but to shepherds that were tending their sheep in the field. Interesting how the Most High, the most awesome God in the world, would come and introduce Himself to shepherds. And so, and Christ, that goodness, was born that holy night. Christ, God's goodness, was born. So Galatians 4:4 says this: "But when the right time came, God sent His Son, born of a woman, subject to the law." Verse 5, it says, God sent Him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that He could adopt us as His very own children. Now, if that ain't good news, then I don't know what is good news. We're adopted. And it's wonderful to be able to sit here today knowing that I'm adopted into a wonderful family, an amazing family. And that angel announced that very night to the shepherd. The shepherds tending the sheep, and it announced that I bring you good news. Good news. It's very good news of great joy. And I tell you, the great joy has been unpacked and experienced by tens of millions of people since that announcement. And the kicker is, for all people. The good news is for all people, and that's wonderful. 30 years later, the good news went public. It required that baby be born, be raised, Jesus come to a place where His cousin, John the Baptist, would declare the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Again, good news being announced in every dimension, in every direction. Though though Jesus was announced to the angels, he was brought to the temple and dedicated. He was baptized openly and publicly, and the Holy Spirit was seen come upon Him. It's still only when Jesus turned the water into the wine at that wedding was He then public. That's when He's launched His public ministry, was when that miracle took place. God's goodness, Jesus, threatened the rulers of the day, threatened the religious of the day, threatened the priests and the politicians of the day. That good news came in and threatened the order of the day. Really did. And somehow it does the same today. And but those who needed a Savior, those who needed the Messiah, those who needed a Lord, those who needed a Deliverer, those who needed a Redeemer, they were excited and embraced and chased after and followed this good news that was announced to the earth. 2021 years later, the good news is still good news and is still available to all who would receive it. And that's the good news I want to announce and just share with you today. So the question is, why the pushback? Why the exodus from the faith? Why is this Jesus not good news? Why is it? What happened? When all are invited to be with Christ, all are included. If our version excludes anyone from coming through Christ, then our version's wrong. Then our version's wrong. Whatever that may look like, our version is wrong. Galatians 3:28 says, there is no longer Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, sinner, saint, righteous, unrighteous. There is, we are all one in Christ. We are all one in Christ. And that's the news that has to be declared. That's the version we need to go back to. That's the original version that was announced that day. Yes, even the challenging sister-in-law. The awkward uncle, the miserable boss, friend and foe, all are welcome. And so Christ, in Christ and through Christ, we all have seat at the table. We all have seats at the table. And that's good news, especially when we are preparing seats at the table and going to have a meal together with family, whether it be Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. It's those seats, it's prepared. The King has prepared a seat for us, for each one of us. So what happened? Maybe the version of the good news that is being heard and seen is not good news. How are we talking about it? There are versions of the gospel today that lay guilt on people, that condemn people, that discriminate people. That's not the good news. That's not the original good news. That's not the original version. And we need to get to the original version. Because many are pushing back and saying, "Nah, I don't want that kind of version. No, thank you." And hence, I read those stats to you. So we need to understand that sometimes the version is unobtainable, and it's just the bar is just too high. And I'm thinking, "Man, I can't even get there. No chance, man. I can't be this perfect living person. I live in the earth suit in a fallen world, and I'm doing my best. And so I can't make that bar. And so the version that's been given limits God and His grace, limits Him." And limits His enabling power to bring us into that place where we can live life and life to the full. And there are extreme cases, and I heard about this week for the very first time. There is a version of a Bible that doesn't exist anymore. Thank God for that. And there is only 3 Bibles left on planet Earth, and they are in museums just as proof of wrong. And it's called the Slave Bible. The Slave Bible, 1807, it was printed by printers in the UK. There were in our Bible here we have 1,100 chapters. In this Bible, there was only 300. They had taken out all those scriptures that would talk about the Israel in slavery and anything like that. The one we spoke about, that there's no Jew nor Greek, no slave, and all free. Those scriptures are all removed. So it brought it right down to 300. The only thing they really wanted to do is to tell the slaves about Jesus and get them saved. But they didn't want to upset the slave owners. And so they took all the other stuff out. You can't read this Bible with a pair of scissors and cut out what you don't like. Okay? It just doesn't happen. It's not part of the deal. Okay? So there's those extreme things. And that's why when we have all these different wrong inversions that are out there, there is pushback. But man, we've got to get on the program and realize we have good news, man. We have good news. So what happened? Maybe we happened. Why is there pushback? Maybe because we happened. And so maybe we Americanized the gospel. We can't help it. We're in America, so we Americanized the gospel. We westernized it. Maybe we've allowed the political platforms to come and preferences to distract and derail us from the good news and the wonderful. Maybe we've prosperitized the good news. Hey, maybe we've done that. Maybe we've intellectualized the simple good news that God brought to us. Maybe we've intellectualized it. Maybe we've reduced the good news to something that's just it's internalized. It's just me and God. There's no external explanation, no external living. There's no there's no outward living reality. No. Because it's just me and God. We're doing this inwardly. No. Gospel is for all to see, and everybody needs to see it. Maybe we made it a fire insurance, get out of hell card for you. I know that, maybe that was my first step until I heard the rest of the story. Jesus got me out of hell, and I was very grateful about that, okay? And maybe we've reduced it to our walk of faith just to a pick and mix and to pick and choose, and it's a very self-centered version. And that doesn't translate to everybody because everybody doesn't. And so maybe the good news is not the good news. But John 10:10 says, I came that you may have life and that you may have life more abundantly. That is good news. He wants us to have life and life. So we who believe are billboards. We're on display of his good news, the good news that was announced, the good news that he has brought to us. We're the billboards that they read. We're the billboards. And so people read us. So we're the ones that display and they read us. And so how are they reading us? You know, do we walk around like we're baptized in pickle juice? Are these the ones that are sucking on lemons? Are we all the miserable ones that go to work? We're the miserable ones that drive and get aggro with everybody else. How's our believing and our behaving? Is it characterized into the good news? Because it's Christmas. We've got to just remind ourselves we're part of something good, something great, something fantastic. This is good news, a good story that was announced. The gospel is good news. So does the wrapping depict the gift within it? So what does that look like? And how are you wrapped and how you present it? Because I see some of those wrappings of gifts under the tree. The kids go do their best shot, but they look rough, eh? But we're happy when we get inside and we find out that it's a gift your credit card paid for. Hallelujah. Yeah, I paid for my gift. Hallelujah. That's very nice, right? But why do I talk about the gift within? Because here, 2 Corinthians 4:7, it says, "For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." Here, within this earthen vessel, God has decided to resign because I invited him in. And so here we have this incredible treasure. So what does my wrapping look like of this gift that I have within us? And so it's important. So we have good news, and it's not only just good news, it's just tremendous news. And you never see the full dimension. I've preached a sermon talking about the goodness and the dimension of the gift. And I tell you, you can never outsee the gift, because every angle you look at, it's just more beautiful and more wonderful. So the original version that was put out there was compelling and was worth telling. And so we need to make sure that our version is so compelling it's worth telling to the people around us. So what happened? Maybe we happened. So Paul writes to the Philippian church, and this is how he's telling us how we need to display and how we need to dispense this good news. He kind of gives us encouragement and how to do it. And so in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Is there any encouragement for belonging to Christ?" I know that if I ask, there'll be so much encouragement. He says, display it. Display it. Dispense it. Tell people about it. Any comfort from his love? Display it. Dispense it. Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Tell. Explain. Announce. Display it. Oh, your heart's tender and compassionate. Allow it to come and translate into your face, being happy and a translation of an outward expression. Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. He's talking about, let's allow this goodness to bring the unity together. Allow us. You know, we can agree to disagree. And it's hard to find anybody because of the COVID situation, because of the political situation. Man, people are aggro. There's nobody that can. I mean, I can agree to disagree. If you guys say that wall behind there is purple, I'm happy with that. If it's pink, I'm happy with that. I can still walk with you. No problem. But today, boy, if you disagree and if you say that, that's it. You're dead. You're out of my relationship. That is not displaying the version of the gospel that we are part of. And says, "By this you shall know that we are his disciples." John 13:35 tells us, by this, why? By this love that we have for one another. Amen. We can be of all spectrums and colors and cultures and characters, and we still can walk together. Why? Because a unifying thing is the Spirit of God within us. And so that's what we can present as a wonderful gift to the world this Christmas. And it says there, don't be selfish. Don't display that. I know that's that old yuck character of selfishness. Don't display that. Don't try to impress others. Don't impress others. What do you got? You got an issue of identity because you've got to try and impress. No, man, I know that I'm my dad's green-eyed boy, and I don't have to impress anybody. The king loves me, and that settles it. So it says, be humble. Display that. Thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Now we're starting to display the original version. Why? Because Jesus did this. Because it goes on to say, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God. I mean, that is top of the pile, okay? Though he was God. Can't get any higher. He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. He didn't have this whole power-up game. He didn't have that. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges to take the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. So God, Jesus didn't power up when he had all that opportunity to power up against the religious and the political power of the day. No, he'd used his power as leverage. He used his power to help others. That's what we need to do. Our position, our place, our identity in Christ, allow that to use that as leverage to help others. Just imagine if the leadership of the world leadership, used that attitude, that I use my power, my position to help others. Just imagine the transformation on planet Earth. Just imagine that. That's what the kingdom of God is wanting to impact this earth with. Verse 8, it says, And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died as a criminal death on the cross. You understand, a death on the cross is when they would obliterate, take your name off any kind of history remembrance. You did not belong any longer. You are of nothing. That was what happened when you died on the cross in those days. And basically, Jesus said, I lowered myself right down. Why? So I could lift you up. For the joy that was set before me, I endured the cross. I went through that humiliation. I went through that place so that you could have a seat at the table. You could have the correct version and the goodness and the greatness of God. The way up is down. Using your place, your position, and your power to lift and help others. Man, you say, well, I'm a nobody, man. I'm just a construction site worker. There is ways to help that person that's bringing you lumber, that's helping you in on the job site. Humble yourself, help that person, and don't be above everybody else. Verse 13, verse 12, it says, work hard to show the results of your salvation. Work hard at displaying this goodness that God has given us, the forgiveness he's given us. Obey God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. He's working so we can display his goodness, his greatness. We are the billboards. We are the vessels through which divine favor flows. And God wants us to be that to those around us. That's good news. Maybe that's because we are kind of in our little world and our little selfish world that people say, if that's what they think, that's what God is all about, I don't want anything to do with it. So we are the billboards. We are the ones that we need to come and step up this Christmas and say, hey, I want to be a good version of the kingdom of God. I want to be a good version of the kingdom of God. Man, I'm preaching to myself. I'm preaching to myself. Somewhere here, yeah, I'm coming up to it. I have to confess my sins before the congregation. Hallelujah. So let our focus be on bringing the good news to others. If we remain on the throne of the heart and me, myself, and I, the goodness of God will never be displayed through you. Never. So you need to dethrone yourself, okay? And put King Jesus on there, because he really, let him take the wheel, because he really can do a lot better job. And so we're the vessels through what God wants. And then finally, verses 14 and through 15, do everything without complaining and arguing. Oh my, this will be a sweet thing, without complaining and arguing. Oh, Lord Jesus. And so that no one can criticize you. live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights on a world on a world full of crooked and perverse people. I tell you, it doesn't take much for you to shine and some of the stuff that's happening out there. And then they turn around and say, what's up with you? I want what you have. And I said, you can, because it's free. It comes with a king. Hallelujah. Being good news. Four takeaways from these scriptures a portion of scripture I've just read to you. Four takeaways to being a good news billboard, to being a good news vessel. First one is apologize immediately. Own it quickly. You know what it means to be blameless? Is when you kind of say, okay, I've messed up and I own it. Whether you're talking to Jesus or talking to your wife because you've messed up, or you talk to your family, or you talk to your co-workers, or you talk to your boss, if you've messed up, apologize immediately. Own it. Because then you can walk around saying, I'm blameless because I owned it. I picked it up and I owned it straight away. Men, listen, I've been a man longer than I've been a pastor. Okay? And you can create this whole vibe in the house because you've been found wanting. And you can walk around and take a while before you apologize. Well, just hurry up and apologize. It just changes the atmosphere in the house. Okay? If you want to be the top of the pile, forget it. She's the top of the pile. All right? That settles it. We just say, okay. Yeah. I had to live this. I mean, this week, man, I had toilet break on me. Toilet break. Just before we were about to go out and have fellowship with folk in the church. And so it broke. And it didn't break on the clean water side. It broke on the dirty sewer side. And man, bad fruit. And my poor dear wife is trying to cheer it up. And, you know, it'll be fine. I'm sure you're going. Oh, and I had an attitude. Boy. Anyway, so I finally got a grip of myself, confessed to everybody that I phoned a friend, confessed the whole thing. I have elders of note. When Tom Brimmett, I said, Tom, I have toilet issues. And he came running. Now, if you don't have elders like that on your board, then I tell you what, you better get some elders like that on your board because he got me out of trouble. Hallelujah. All right, the next thing, you got to forgive quickly. Because why? Because we've been so forgiven. So much has been on our plate and God says, okay, it's forgiven. Forgive others. We owe to others to forgive them. Just forgive them. Prefer others. Serve others. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. He was upfront, and we need to serve it. I went to West Africa with 25 pastors to a Dion Robert's church. Dion Robert was in Ivory Coast. He had 80,000 people in his church. And so he personally came with a bus and came to pick us up at the airport. And there I saw him. He was there with the customs immigration guys, making sure it was all okay. He helped us with our passports. The next thing I look, he's taking our luggage off the conveyor. He's loading the carts. He's pushing the carts out. He's loading the bus. He's the pastor of an 80,000 member church. And he was leading from the front, and he was serving. I tell you what, Kingdom of God needs to display that version. That's what he needs to do. Fourthly, give sacrificially. We've got time, talent, and treasure that we need to be able to give away. We need to be that vessel, that conduit of continuous blessing. I tell you what, these are the simple things that display the kingdom of God. And it's wonderful that we can amplify that around Christmas because we get to serve our family and love our family and our guests and those at work and bless them and be that model, be that example. Why? Because Galatians 2:20 says it's no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. He empowers me. He stirs up the desire for me to do these things. Why? Because it's displaying and dispensing the kingdom of God. 1 John 4:4 says the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. So we're the carriers of good news. We're the displayers of good news. So we're the dispensers of good news. And so let us step up to the plate and do that. Amen. And as we approach the celebration of Christ's birth, Christmas, we'll be hearing lyrics on the carols like this and the songs that will be sung. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Well, sometimes it's not the most wonderful time of the year because people have family losses, or they just find it very awkward when certain members have to come to your function. And don't laugh too loud, okay? Because Val had this growing up where her dad would not allow you open the Christmas presents until he's read his newspaper. And then after he's read his newspaper, he'll then wait until the Queen has done a speech. At midday is when the Queen did the speech. And only after that were they able. So you don't even know how she has amped up and amplified and accelerated the process in Christmas. It's just gone to another level. And we have to, before Christmas comes, the night before, we're allowed to open one present. And when we hit the ground running at 6 o'clock, it's stockings. And then we have the bubble bread, and then we get into the gifts and stuff. It's radical in our house. But Valerie said, I am going to make up for lost time. And yes, she is in her 60s, and she's still pedal to the metal. You know how many Christmases I've had? And it's just all go, because we're in this time where Christmas is the most wonderful time in the world. But it's not all about what's happening around us, whether about the meal and about the guests and about the gift. It's not all about that. It's not what's happening. The most wonderful time of the year is because what has happened. What has happened is the King has come. He's paid for our sins, and he has set us free, and he's given us a way of escape. He's made us righteous. That's what's happened. It's the most wonderful time of the world, not because who's going to be with us, but who's for us. And it's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is so for us. He is so in our corner. And that is why it is the most wonderful time of the world. And I want to close, because I've kind of thrown a character of the Bible in every one of these sessions, just to kind of just to amplify God's goodness to us and what's happened. And so I want to talk about the Apostle John and how he reduced God, who the Hebrew and the Greek used multiple words to explain and express who this God is. He just says, I only have one word, that God is love. That God is love. And it's the driving force that was behind everything. The version that he has is that God is love. It says here in 1 John 4:16, God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. Love is that driving force that brought the Son of God, brought the Savior, brought the Messiah into the epicenter of history. It is that love that came, because it says here, and everybody knows it, John 3:16, God so loved the world, not just loved it. He so loved the world. Even though we're yuck-yucks, he still loved us. And he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have an eternal life. That is a good version that we need to translate into our lives and into our behavior. So we are assigned and we are empowered to display and dispense this good news that has saturated us, his love. He has so loved us. He says, you can love because I first loved you. I first loved you because I went to Calvary. So these past weeks, I've illuminated how the good news has located, has leveled, has loved, and led lives. How it has done that. Because when you encounter the good news, it's going to affect you. And how the good news compelled Luke to document everything that took place. It compelled them to do that. How the good news forgave and healed that paralyzed boy when he was lowered in front of Jesus through that roof that they opened up. Because why? Because he could see their faith. The four that lowered him down, he could see their faith. So this guy got forgiven, and this guy got healed, and this guy went home carrying his. Because that's what happens when goodness arrives. It affects you, it touches you, changes you. How goodness came and invited an outcast. Levi, the tax collector, invited him to come and follow him. He became Matthew, the writer of the Gospel of Matthew. He became that. And so, yes, and the religious were located in this very same process. And they said, no, why are you hanging out with those scum? And Jesus said, no, they're just sick. And that's what was the difference. How Simon Peter was overwhelmed by God's goodness after the miracle of a boat sinking, net breaking catch that came in. He just realized God met him in his arena, in his field of life, in his world, Jesus met you. And if you haven't met Jesus, he'll meet you in your world. Wherever that is, he'll meet you. And there'll be this great encounter. And it brought Simon Peter to his knees. And he became the first disciple. It says, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. How about Saul, who now we know as Paul? He ran headlong into the Lord Jesus on his way to Damascus and brought him to a place where he lost his sight and then he gained his sight of the goodness of God. So our version of the good news, is it impacting? So let's look at the Apostle John as I close. Interesting that the Gospel of John does not start with the birth of Christ. It doesn't start with the birth of Christ. Matthew does, Luke does, but John doesn't. Of all the disciples that there was, he had the opportunity to find out the finest detail when the actual contractions started, every finer detail. Why? Because on the cross, Jesus, while he was hanging there, he said, John, take care of my mom. And his mom moved in with John. So John had this living person who carried Jesus, who gave birth to Jesus. And so John had all the opportunities to write all the details. But I think he looked over the shoulder and said, hey, Matthew, you've done a great job. Luke, you've done a great job. I'm going to go and talk about something else, the love of God, the love of God. And it's interesting that he would talk about that because in his day, I tell you what, you would walk away from your, you talk about a pushback from a faith. If you lived in his environment, when the Romans came and took siege of Jerusalem and starved those people, 9 months they starved. Then they grabbed the about 200 or 300,000 and sold them into slavery. All that, he watched his fellow man impaled, tarred, lit up as streetlights, as believers. He saw all that. He saw them fed to lions as entertainment. He saw and he heard about his fellow apostles being crucified and killed and beheaded. And you think, Jesus, where are you? Where's this loving God in this whole midst? The whole thing. John Witherson was victim to most of the brutal persecutions against Christianity. And then he landed up being in prison, sent to the Isle of Patmos. He was the oldest apostle that lived. And here we are hearing him talk about the love of God. The love of God. He does not waver off that in all his writings. He does not waver off the love of God. So that version that he got had an impact on him. Had an impact on him. John had the front row seat with Jesus. Saw everything. Every move he made, every word he spoke, John had the front seat with Jesus. And this is what they wrote in 1 John 1:1. We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes. We touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. You're talking about somebody who's declaring his love for somebody that he walked with and he talked with and he touched. You can't question the reality of this love that he experienced. In John 1:14, so the word became flesh and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. I had to highlight that when I was writing it out. And we have seen his glory in the glory of the Father's one and only Son. He did not waver on knowing that God is good, that God loves, and God is love. In all that surroundings. Now we're complaining when we run out of toilet paper and paper rolls in the pandemic. We kind of think our world's come to an end. Or we have no power after a hurricane. We kind of lose it. But I tell you what, you want to lose your faith, walk where John walked in those days. It kind of stop you in your tracks. It says here in John 1 verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I want to tell you, the darkness has not slowed this good news down. It has not silenced this good news, and it will never stop this good news. That is the gospel. That is the good news. That is the version I'm committed to. That's I'm connected to. That's the version that, man, this new year, I've already announced the theme. It's the year of God's goodness. I don't care what comes our way down the road. We're going to declare His goodness. It can never be worse than what John was going through. Never go worse than what those disciples and the apostles said. Never. And I want to make sure that we continually declare it, we display it, we dispense it this new year. That we will announce that God is good and he's full of goodness. No matter which way you cut God, He's going to bleed goodness. That's what our new year is going to be. And if we take that posture, whatever comes down the road, I can deal with it because God is good and His goodness is going to go before us. Amen. Hallelujah. So today, we are the light of the world and we're the dispensers of good news. Have you realized that when we put all these Christmas lights up and you light them up during the day, don't see much. But man, when you light them up at night, we went to the boat parade last night. Man, the boats were lit up. I guarantee you, go and light them up now under the sunshine, you wouldn't see it. That is what we need to be. We need to be those bright, pretty lights in a dark world that needs the light. That's us. That's the good news. That's what Christmas is all about. Remember, the good news is our mandate, our call, and our commission. Such fun to be able to do this, to display His goodness. And I tell you what, is there a day that we need good news all the time? I need good news, man, to flush out all the stuff that comes in fast and furious, every angle that it can come from devices to news to announcements to billboards, anything it comes. We need good news. We need good news. We need good news. Amen. So Christmas, that angel said, I bring you good news of great joy for all of us. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you. We stand before you knowing that, man, you're a good God. You're a good, 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 good God. There's not enough goods in front of my goods to say how good you are. And so, Father, I thank you. I thank you that we will display that, that we'll dispense that, that we would be able to be those carriers of good news, Father. And Father, in every situation, every circumstance, we thank you that we can dispense that. And Father, for those that are in the hearing of my voice that have not come towards you or embraced you or invited you to be their Lord, their leader, to be the light and the life of their life. Father, I thank you that today they can do that through prayer, through invitation. And if that's any of you that in the sound of my voice have not heard that's good news, and today you're hearing it for the first time and you're saying, yes, I want that good news. I want that resident king within me. For greater is he that is in us. That's what happened when I said yes to Jesus in that school hall way back in 1975. I said, yes, he came in and he has transformed me from the inside out. And he's made me who he designed me to be before the earth was made. That's what happened to me. And I want to tell you that you can have that today. So if that is you, anybody in the sound of my voice, we as a church going to pray that in faith that you would pray with us and invite Jesus into your life. So church, are you ready to pray with me?